Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to In Totality. I'm your host, Megan Ashley, and we are continuing the conversation with my discipler. Centoria is here, and last week we kind of gave you guys an introduction on what discipleship is like, what is discipleship, how to find the right person to disciple you, how to be ready for discipleship. Yeah. We went through all of those things in the last episode, so if you missed that, go back to last week's episode, catch up, and then join us back here on this episode. So what we're going to do first, before we get into the conversation, before we continue the conversation, I'm going to play one of my voicemails from my Patreon Village community. If you guys are a part of my Patreon, I have a phone number that you guys can text and call me, leave me voice memos or voicemails, ask questions, and then your question can be a part of the show. So we have a voicemail. And we're going to play it, and then hopefully Centauri and I will be able to provide some encouragement and wisdom to the question, okay?
Hi, my name is Angel, and I am 24 years old. I've actually been married for a few years now, and we just actually had our first baby. So my question is, with your walk with Christ, how were you able to display that and communicate your relationship with Christ to your children? And like with yourself personally, how were you able to separate the way that you are as a mom from your job and from, you know, everything else that you do as an entrepreneur and everything? Like, how do you, I guess, the balance of things, and not only just the balance, but mostly with God, like, how are you teaching and incorporating Christ into your children's lives? And how do you teach them about Christ?
That's a really good question.
24, she said she'd been married for a little bit.
Jeez.
She married young.
Young. Same as me. I was married at 20, so
shout,
I get it.
Out.
and it is a journey. But what I would say is I've lived a life where it was separate. Where it was Megan as a mom, Megan as an entrepreneur, Megan as a wife, Megan as a friend, Megan as a person who goes to church, Megan in the when no one's around. There were all these different, you know, parts of me. And I think that what I'm learning more now on, especially for my children, is the balance is incorporating God in all of it. And being who he called me to be in all of it. You know what I mean? And knowing, you know, knowing his word. So knowing that that helps and guides me on how to be the right parent for my children. And like, these are some interesting things that were happening within the last, what, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. So it's been 7 months since I moved in here. And I told you this a few times, but I told you that time I was crying on my bed and I was just so broken. I was God, please. I'm just like a little child having a temper tantrum, like crying, bawling my eyes out. And I'm telling God, I'm like, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. Just please help me. Just whatever you say, I'll do it. I just, please, God. You know, I was just weeping and weeping. I was in, I felt like I was in so much pain. And I am, you know, hindsight, I'm having a temper tantrum. Like, at the end of the day,
definitely.
I'm definitely having a temper tantrum. And I'm just like, this isn't fair. This isn't right. And da 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 da. And, you know, just going through it. And I'm crying, expecting something. Like, I'm like turning it up
working
to
up.
See if God will really do something.
Yeah,
I'm
like I need a miracle.
Like, I'm like trying to get him to respond to me, right? Like, I'm trying to get him to respond to me
because
I'm like trying. I want him to see how broken I am. And I finally just kind of got quiet. Like, and the tears are still coming down my face, and I kind of got quiet. And as soon as it got dead silent within me, he said, "Make your bed." And I said, huh? I know you did not just tell me to make my bed. I said, no. That's, I'm hurting. I was like, here. I literally was like, that's an intrusive thought. That's not God. Like, make my bed. So I was like, okay. Oh. You know, and I'm like, work the tears back up. Come on. Like, that wasn't God. Like, surely he's going to say something else. And he said it again. He said, make up your bed and go clean your room. And I was like,
that sounds about right.
And so I was so mad at him for telling me that, because I wanted him to do something else. Yeah. I wanted him to, I mean, I wanted I just wanted all of heaven come in.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. Come rescue me.
Come rescue
do
me.
Do something.
Like, shake it up, do something. And he was like, go make up your bed and clean your room. And, and it happened again one time when I was outside, and I'm getting to my point, but I was outside in my office and I'm having this moment again, and God said, go play with Jonah.
Yeah,
and I'm like, he said, go play with Jonah. And so I get up and I'm like, okay, like wiping my tears, and I go outside and play basketball with Jonah. And the reason why I say that is because God wants us to steward what he gave us,
right,
first and foremost.
That's right.
And he gave you those children. Mm-hmm. He gave me my children.
Yeah.
That's what I know for sure that he gave me.
Yeah.
He gave me those kids.
Yeah.
An idea is an idea. Like, a business idea is a business idea.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's a thing. But like, I know for a fact that these kids are mine.
That's right.
So I know that he gave those to me, and I have to steward those well. And so making that a priority, mm-hmm, to make sure that I'm stewarding, and I still struggle with that because I still feel like I'm on my own. I got to make sure I grind and work and provide and da-da-da. So I still struggle with that. But I feel myself more and more like, if Jonah comes to my office,
mm-hmm,
getting up and going outside to greet him, meet him, and okay, what do you, like, giving him that attention, or what's up? Like, what do you need?
Yeah.
Or instead of just being like, I'll be there in a minute, or I'm working, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said that to say, because as I did that more, when I got up and made my bed,
because
I did it.
Yeah.
You think I wasn't about to make my bed? Oh, I made my bed. I was pissed, but I made it.
Yeah, yeah.
I made my bed and I cleaned my room. But as I was doing it, and when I went outside and played with Jonah, as I was doing those things, I could feel the pressure that I was feeling when I was crying out to him.
Lifting.
I felt that pressure lift.
Yeah.
And it's not so much about the what you're doing, but it's obeying what he's telling you to do.
That's right.
And so even if it's in the smaller things, like cook dinner for cook.
Yeah.
Fold your husband's laundry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ask him how his day was.
Yes.
Forgive.
Yes.
Be kind.
Yes.
Like little things little things like that, like, it makes a world of a difference. And incorporating that in your life all the way around, and not separating it or making it like, I can only do that here, or I can only serve God in one way.
That's right.
Everything in your life is a servant to him.
That's right.
So how you are a mom,
how
you are a wife, how you are a business person, how you are a friend, you are a daughter, how you are a son, how you are whatever.
Yeah.
All of it, incorporating him in all of it and inviting him in all of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how you have a balance. And I feel like that's how my kids get to know the gospel,
mm-hmm,
is that they see it. They hear me talk about it. I'm not quiet about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just have a relationship with God in my prayer time and not in my kitchen when I'm cooking or not when I'm driving my 13-year-old to school and he's talking to me about school and the problems he's having.
Yep.
I incorporate God in those conversations.
That's right.
When I'm disciplining Jonah, I don't just discipline him, but I incorporate God
that's
in that
right.
conversation,
that's
in
right.
that discipline. And I talk to Jonah about his heart.
Yep.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's not just, you don't have to make it separate.
That's right. Well, God wants to be there in totality. So he needs to hit every area. He needs to
all
have a presence.
It.
And he needs to lead it.
Yeah.
Not just be a part of it, but lead
it.
So you ask the Lord, like, how can I be the wife you've called me to be? How can I be the parent you've called me to be?
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother gave birth to 8 kids.
Mm.
And she said she had to pray for the needs of each kid.
Mm.
She said she didn't parent them the same.
Yep.
And
you
that's
can.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
Because God doesn't talk to us the same.
He
the
doesn't.
Way that he talks to you
might
be different than the way that he talks
to me. Similarities.
So, but with me and you, okay, that's a bad example.
There's some
but there's a lot of similarities there. But the
no,
way that
I'm
he talks to someone else, it's like, and that's just, I believe it's the kindness of him to even do that. Yeah. I just believe it's a kindness. Yeah. And so I forget that girl's name, but I hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, no,
because
that was
think you just need to incorporate him into all of it.
Yeah.
And that's how you have a balance.
That's right.
And especially making sure that you're stewarding what he gave
that's
you.
Right.
What you know
no,
he
for sure, like you said.
You
yeah.
know he yeah. gave you that those kids. Yeah. You know you're married to that
yep.
man. You know, and these are things, and I'm speaking like this. And I'm saying this because I know that I have not done that.
Yeah.
I thought I had to steward everything outside of my home better than I had to steward the things inside of my home. I felt like being married, it wasn't my job to steward it.
Yeah.
It was my husband's job to steward it.
Yeah, no, that's real.
And all those things are not
true.
And you
steward that stuff at home first. Like, that's the top priority. That is literally the top priority. It's God. If you're married, your husband and kids, mm-hmm. and then everything else.
Yeah.
Literally. That's got to be the order of it.
And two, how God will show, like, when things are not done in his divine order, how chaos erupts.
100%. But if you take care of him, he graces you to take care of everything else. It ends up not even being as big of a deal as it felt like.
Absolutely
not. You know what I'm saying?
Being a parent doesn't feel as weighty now than it did before this period of my life.
Yep.
Like, it feels very... because I have help.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I now know that I'm not doing it by myself,
that's
nor
right.
out of my, am I doing it out of my own strength?
I have help. That's right.
I have help for the one who knows the number of hairs on each of my kids' heads.
That's right.
Who created them and knew them before he placed them inside my womb.
Yeah.
He knows them better than me.
He does.
And I have help with that.
Yes.
You
and
know?
To your point of help, it's like, so if you're struggling to balance them all, I would ask how much you're allowing the Lord to
help
you. Exactly.
Are you inviting him in on your struggle or your challenge?
Yep.
Are you inviting him? God, me and my husband just aren't clicking. Have you invited God in the conversation?
Yep.
I just, my teenager is just, have you invited God into that conversation?
Yep.
Not only have you invited him into the conversation privately, but have you invited God into the conversation
openly,
with them?
Openly.
I invite God into my conversations,
right.
especially with my oldest Eli, because he's always had a heart for God and he's very mature for his age and the way spiritually. He just like, I mean, you can't shake that kid's faith. He knows God and he's known God his entire life without me forcing it on him.
That's
it was a grace. Like, God is kind and graced Eli to be who he is. I don't want to take credit for that at all.
Yeah.
I can't. But we have these conversations and God is a known, his name is known in my house. You know what I mean?
Real.
Like
they
hear me talk about God on the phone with my friends.
Yeah.
They hear me. They see Jay and Jordan and I discipling and going through scripture and talking about God or, you know what I mean? They hear it didn't always used to be that way, but they hear more godly influenced music and, you know, certain things that I don't really allow in my house. Like everybody knows you can't watch a scary movie in my house. I don't just say no, but I give context to why. You know what I mean? Which invites God into that conversation as well. So I think that especially as a young mom, get that muscle memory early.
That's real.
To invite him into your conversation.
That's so real.
And if you're single, get that muscle memory now. Your singleness is the best time.
It's a gift,
And I was talking to Brandy about this when we were talking a couple of days or last week or so. But I was like, this is the best time to, when you're single.
Yeah.
No, man,
facts.
What?
Yeah.
And no kids?
Yeah. I've been able to do all kinds of stuff because
But because if God, when God brings that opportunity in your life for you to have a partner or for you to have children, you are going to be so equipped.
Yeah.
And so, like, the intimacy that you're able to build with God, you won't have to worry about the pressure of being a mother or the pressure of being a wife.
That's
because
true.
You have spent time being intimate with God and his word, and you already know that he is your helper. He's gonna help you. He tells you what to do, how to love, how to be a wife, how to be a mom, you know what I mean? And so for anybody, so if you're a young mom, if you're not a young mom, if you're a single woman, if you're not, whatever, invite God. I'm just
invite him in.
Yeah. All of it.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah. Facts.
Game changer. So hopefully that helps your question. I know we kind of went in on a thing, but one thing that has been really encouraging to me throughout this time has been, and I talked about it in the first episode, is how I have been able to do this journey with Jay and Jordan because they're doing this journey the same. Like they're really getting into God's word and they're hungry for it. And it's been such a blessing because, like I said before, like they don't get tired of it. And so like that's after you and I have our time together, I get to go to them. And
which I think is so cute.
I'm like, I'm always like, so my attribute, Jordan's attribute, and Jay's attribute.
I'm like, I give you an assignment. You're like, and I did it with Jay and Jordan. Yeah, I'm like, that's always.
Like, I love a group project. I told y'all, I don't like solo projects. I like group projects.
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's just been such a, and two, it's an accountability that I so desire. And I know that I said that to you when we first started. Doing this discipleship, I was like, I want to be accountable.
Yeah, you did.
I don't want to just be out here being a fool.
No, it's so huge though, because so few people want to be accountable.
Yeah.
Honestly, they just want to do their own thing. They don't want nobody saying nothing to them. But I'm with you. I love accountability too.
I need it.
Because I'm like, listen here. Like I'm buck wild enough. So I just need somebody to be like, oh no, God told me that too. Or be like, you're doing too much. I need that.
For sure.
You know? And so I think that's another thing I love about you, to be honest, is because you want to be accountable. Like, you want all the things in place for you to be successful in this walk. You want it.
Yeah.
Period. And whatever that looks like, whatever it takes, however much time, however much submission, however much whatever, pain, okay, sign me up.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
Yep.
And I think that, like, man, you couldn't ask for a better disciple in that, to be honest. You're like, bet. So even when I know you got attitude, like last week when we were talking and you were like, oh my God, that's same scripture. You were like, just... She was annoyed.
Annoyed.
But I was like, no, she gonna do it. I wasn't 100%. Even tripping on.
I'm just gonna be.
You gonna have attitude.
Yeah, just for a second.
It's fine.
Just for a second. Yeah. Attitude's not gonna last forever, but it is gonna be there for a minute. Because I feel like I the biggest thing I wanted to go into this doing was being honest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't want to act like. I didn't want to pretend and be like, oh, I'm happy to do this assignment.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll do it. But
yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
No, facts.
Okay. When you gave me the, what was it? 1 Corinthians, when Paul talks about being a slave of men, I wanted to vomit. I was so pissed that you said that. I was so mad.
Oh yeah.
That you said
you
that.
Were. You were
because,
quite annoyed.
Because I'm like, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. That's
right,
been the theme of
right,
my life.
Right, yep.
And the feeling of, like when Santori and I first started working, the discipling together, the biggest thing that I was struggling with is I feel like people be getting away with stuff.
And that you don't be getting
and
away
I don't
with.
Get away with anything. And when I tell y'all.
It's like, welcome to the club.
And like, and the fact that you had scripture after scripture after scripture to basically be like,
right. That's what we signed up for. So
this is just what it is.
Yeah, like,
and you just
going to
have to, you know what I'm saying? You just going to have to endure.
Yeah.
Like you just going to have to endure. Like at the end of the day,
no facts.
God called you to do this.
Facts.
So what you going to do?
What you going
to
do?
You know, but I wanted to always make sure I was going into it being very honest.
Yeah.
And even like with Jay and Jordan, like I'm very honest with them.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, I mean, and they can kind of speak for themselves. I don't want to speak for them, but I feel like I've been more transparent.
Yeah.
And vulnerable, like openly vulnerable about the things I struggle, the real things that I struggle with. Not just I'm having a bad day.
No,
but
facts.
Like, I'm struggling
to believe today.
To believe.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to think that God loves me.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm struggling with, can I even do this?
Yeah.
This podcast.
Yeah.
I like,
yeah.
To have people who were on that journey with me.
Yeah.
Y'all don't understand.
Yeah.
I was in my office reeling.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot do this. I cannot, I'm not capable of doing this podcast. You know what I mean? But.
Yeah.
You know, I was really scared, but I was just thankful that I had, you know, I didn't have a army of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My crew wasn't deep.
Right.
We wasn't like 15, 10 deep.
Like, I got a couple though.
But I had two strong, solid pillars. Do you know what I'm saying? To stand in the gap and like, you know, I had people to hold me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I had you to encourage me. I had Jay was the biggest cheerleader. I mean, Jay has a whole In Totality chant that he recite. Like he, you know, he was so instrumental in that. And Jordan being so like, and you know, Jordan, she's very
chill.
And she's very much like, yeah, she's feisty. Jordan is
feisty with chill was not.
Jordan is feisty, and she's like, girl,
she's
like
low key. She's
like,
low key feisty.
She get that shoulder going, and it's like we can do this. It's like, girl, and so like you know, with the shoulders and the chants, it was like I really was encouraged. Yes, and then I had somebody discipling me. Like I really like I'm so thankful that I had. Help.
Oh, yeah, because that day, I came the day before, I think, We were in your office.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. You were talking. Mm. Your eyes just kept welling up. I remember I was like.
Yeah, because you weren't going to come at first.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. What's up?
The wait.
I don't know if I can do this.
So the day before the podcast launched, I think it was the day before. Yep. No, it was the day before I recorded.
No, it was the day before you were recording it. Because I was supposed to come the day of the recording, too.
Yeah, you were supposed to come
but
back.
But I got what Jackie needed me to watch the kids.
So she couldn't come. Right. So Sam comes over to that. Well, no, first you text me.
Yeah.
Because you were like, hey, I'm still going to come over.
Yeah.
Still going to come over. And I was like, well, or...
No, we changed the time.
Okay.
You were like, can you come? It was like a different time.
Oh,
but
okay.
I knew you were doing a lot of preparation mm-hmm. for the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, are you sure? Like, no pressure if you can't. You were like, no.
I
need you to come.
Yeah, I definitely need you to come.
I mean, I was so proud of you for that. Remember? Because I was like before that, you have been like having a rough day and then you just a rough weekend. Mm-hmm. And I was so annoyed. I was like, why didn't you call me?
Yeah.
Like, call your lifeline, bro.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, yeah.
And that's why when you were like, you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm sure.
You were like, please. Come.
Like,
okay.
And so we sit in my office and we just sat there for a second because I really didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
I think I was just so
overwhelmed. I played
overwhelmed.
That song, that
and you
worship
said,
song.
You said, let's just sit for a second.
Yeah.
And that's going to make me cry too. You were like, let's just sit. And you played that song and you were like, just sit with yourself for a second.
Yeah.
Just sit there.
Just take a minute.
And just take a minute. And mm-hmm. you were like, I think you said something like, God, you said something before you played that song. And... I don't know if you said something about like let God love on you for a second or let it be like you were just like be still for a minute or whatever you said, but we just sat there and you played the song and I was just weeping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had my head down bawling my eyes out and it was exactly what I needed. I just needed that pause, you know? And then you were like, once the song was over, I think you played one more song and then you were, and then it was like, okay, let's go into the text.
Yeah.
And like you opened up the scripture. Before that, you asked me
a couple of questions.
You asked me some questions.
What's going
like, what is this? Like what are you feeling?
What are the tears about?
Like, what are you feeling? And, you know, once I got into like how I was feeling, which I was feeling like that imposter syndrome, like I just can't do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do this.
I think it was a combination of I can't and I don't want
to. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And how it came was just so, you know, devastating.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
And I felt like I had to do, I felt like I was having the Garden of Gethsemane moment.
Right.
I felt like
let this cup pass.
If this
for
cup,
me.
Lord, if you could let this cup pass, please. Like, I just did not want to do this.
Yeah.
But you sat with me. And I think the biggest thing was the fact that you sat with me.
Mm.
And like you didn't try to fix anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just sat there.
Yeah.
Right. And then it was, let's get into the text.
Yeah.
What does God say about this?
Yeah.
What is God saying to you?
Yeah.
You know, and it was a game changer, you know, and then we were able, you know, I recorded the next day and it was good. But all I'm saying is that the community that is starting to be built here has been a game changer.
Yeah.
It's been a game changer.
Yeah.
And being able to put those things in real time practice.
Yeah.
Like you giving me something and I can immediately go tell Jordan, go tell Jay.
Yeah.
Like, all right, like Sam's in.
Yeah.
And we're
right.
in the scripture.
Let's do this.
You know what I mean? We're in the book, like,
oh, that's like
you
so
know what
cute.
I'm saying? Like
yeah.
we are and it's almost like the how people feel about going to get crab legs in hookah is kinda how I feel about getting in God's word.
Not crab legs.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
but if you live in Atlanta, you know exactly what you're talking
about. If you live in Atlanta,
you
know exactly what I'm talking about. But.
Hey, Red, what are you up to?
Just making sure all the M&M's gifts are wrapped and the ball is filled.
Remember that one holiday party when we had no M&M's?
Oh, boy, I still have nightmares.
The cookies?
Yeah, you used all the M&M's candies that were meant to decorate the party treats, to decorate snowmen. You did it again, didn't you?
They do look cute, though.
Bringing cheer. M&M's for all fun kind.
that's how I feel when, you know, we get up in the morning and everybody knows by 10 a.m. meet in the office.
We're
devoting.
Do the devotional, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's automatic. Y'all read y'all's devotional. Yep. Y'all read your, all right, come on. Yeah. What'd you think? What'd you get? Oh, yep. Me too. Like, yeah. You know, it's those moments, and it feels so, like, I feel like, I don't even know the word to say. It's just so fulfilling to have that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, game changer.
Yeah.
Game changer. And I feel like with seeing the fruits of those things has also encouraged me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you being able to give me something and then giving it to them and then seeing the fruits of those things, it encourages me to keep going. You know what I mean? Like, it encourages me to pursue him more. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just, those are like moments that I probably will never forget. Just sitting in that. I will never forget that. And however and whatever God is doing now, how thankful I am. Like, I know that there's so much great ahead, but like, I'm so thankful and I feel so safe in this space. Do you know what I mean? No, with the people that he's placed in my life. I feel so secure in that. That, like, really the if you do nothing else. Thank you. You've done enough. Like, this is okay. You know what I mean? If all my bills are paid and I'm sitting here 20 years from now, sitting in front of a camera. He's done more than enough.
Yeah, that's good.
I thought you were about to say something.
Nah, I'm just like taking it in. It's cool because I think part of what we wanted to open up in this part was just our process, and we got to touch on that. And so I think, and it's so dope because we haven't talked about that day since that day. You know what I'm saying?
We haven't.
And so to get like what you felt in that moment is actually an encouragement to me. Because like I said, so much of what I do is like really fighting to be led by the Spirit of God too. So it's not, so I don't, even if I give you an assignment, it's not willy nilly. It's connected to something. It's to build you up in a way. Even me saying, giving you the scripture and Jackie saying, read it. Cause I did that to her. But part of reading it is cause you get to confess it with your mouth over yourself. There's something to that. Right. Even just getting up, doing devotionals every morning, it's like making it a practice of getting in your word, of relying on God. Like, all of this stuff like lends itself to building you up in the faith. And so even in that moment, I remember being like, man, I could tell you just had a lot going on and you didn't need me. You needed me to just be there. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna just be here.
And you, and then you,
Lord,
sat,
when you say, when you say speak, then we'll do it. And if you don't say speak,
we'll
sit
here.
I'm gonna give her a hug. And I will keep
sitting. And you did hug me. Because after after we played the song, and I think we talked, you were like, give me a hug. Like, you, like, that impact. I needed that. Like, you have someone here. It's okay.
You're good.
You know, you're good. It's okay. Like, I got you. Like, he has you. You're good. And I think that those things are, I don't know, just experiencing those as an adult. In my adult walk has just been, and it feels like I have like a lighter load. And I think you said this last time, you were like, you've been lighter every time I've seen you.
Yes, Lord.
You ain't had to do me like
that. Yes, Lord. Because sis was fighting for her life the first time I met her. I was like, whoa. Like, to the point where, remember, I was like, I prayed. I tried to, but I prayed us out when we met.
When we first met.
At the taco spot with Jackie. And I'm like, bro, and I started praying for you. I could feel demons swinging on me to stop me from praying for this girl. I was like, okay. And it was funny because I was going to pray over you, over Jackie, over me. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to battle through it to pray for her. And we out of here because, whoa, what is this?
Right. Like,
it was crazy. And then even when I left, I remember I prayed for you so much after that. and leading up to our meeting at the T-Spot, I told you I prayed for days leading up to that. And then prayed with my prayer partner in Michigan. I said, listen, I'm about to meet up with this girl and Satan does not want her with Jesus. I need you to pray with me. And we were praying that God would set the atmosphere in the T-Spot. And it was like there was so much ease in our conversation. And so I just saw the Lord like working and I saw you submitting. Because even when I felt the enemy hovering around you.
That's what you said.
But I didn't feel like he'd overpowered you.
Yeah.
But he's lurking, like waiting for a chance to like strike. You know what I mean? And you were fighting with everything you had. Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned something. I don't know if it was off camera or in the first one, but talking about having that mustard seed of faith. Yeah. I knew. I'm like, she is holding on so tight to this seed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lord, if just show me what I need to do to help fight the enemy back up off of her, to give her a minute to get her footing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if she gets her
footing, I think that's what it was.
It's over for the enemy. I knew it was.
Yeah.
So I just kept trying to figure out like how to partner with the Spirit of God, which is another thing you do as a discipler, to support you.
Yeah.
And so, that was the thing. So literally I've prayed and prayed every time till like now I just be rolling up expecting it to be cool.
Yeah.
But I was like, woo, the first few times we met, I was like fasting and praying. I'm in the garden. Like, but it was so funny though, because as hard as I was praying, I also felt graced for it.
Mm.
I knew that God was like, This is a thing. Go on and do it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no,
and both you and Jackie have been kind in the Lord, like the Lord is wanting us to help you.
Yeah. No, facts.
In this walk.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that by yourself. Nah. And I think that that's the thing that the enemy traps people in.
Yes.
Is isolation.
Yes.
And like,
especially when they change their whole life. Because like groups of friends can change, where you go changes. So you feel super isolated. Stuff you used to do that you don't want to do no more.
But in that isolation, like God does something in the wilderness. And when you're in the wilderness, you're isolated.
Absolutely.
But God doesn't keep you in the wilderness and keep you in isolation.
That's right.
But the enemy wants to pervert the idea of how God isolates you in the wilderness season, but it's a season.
It is.
And the enemy perverts that season tries to make it a lifestyle.
That's right.
You have to be isolated forever.
Right.
You can't have any friends.
Yeah.
You can't have
any fun.
Any fun. You can't do anything.
Or that's real.
And promoting this fear, okay, you're going to slip up again. God's going to be mad at you. God's
not going to do too much. And you're going to look crazy like
John the Baptist. Like and I told you I didn't want to do that. I told you. I said my biggest fear is not biggest fear, but I'm
one
scared
them,
that if I go all in, I'm going to look
crazy.
Nuts.
Be living in the woods, eating locusts and honey.
That's
talk
how
about Jesus said with your whole chest. Like, he said it.
Do you know how scary that is? Because it's like there are really demonic people that say that
they're
Christ followers that do crazy stuff. And it's like,
they wildin'.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in the mix.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to be in the
mix
of that.
But that's the value of community, because then somebody could be like, hey, Tink. Tink, tink. You're going too far. Now, he didn't tell you that.
Put the locust down.
All right. Go play ball with Jonah.
Go clean your room.
Go clean your room.
Nobody asked you to do that.
Do something else.
For sure. Because what happens too, which is why I feel like discipleship is so important, is that when you are new in your walk and you have this encounter with God,
yeah,
this zeal is produced in you.
Oh, girl.
And you want to shout from the rooftops.
You want to go buck. And I did. I had, like, it, like.
Like, you want to go and tell everybody, like, the Amazon guy is dropping off packages, and you're like, do you know Jesus?
No, do you know Jesus?
Like, you know what I'm
like
saying?
When I converted for real, when Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door, the amount of excitement.
Oh, you couldn't wait.
I was like, oh, I'm about to give these fools the gospel. Every time. And again, my church, we studied that stuff.
Yeah.
So I knew all the historical background to Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, mm-hmm. Catholicism. You could not met. Like, I was never scared.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I was like,
let's go.
Hey, how you doing? Come on in.
For sure.
I do want to hear about that.
For sure.
Mormons, they started coming around. I was like, oh my gosh, I was excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And sometimes you need some guidance with that zeal.
Absolutely.
Like, Jordan is very zealous. Jordan, the zeal that this girl has for Jesus right now, which is why I'm so thankful for discipleship, because I have that same zeal, but then you are kind of like, all right. And then I go tell Jordan, I'm like, all right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, girl, calm down.
But let me say this real quick to encourage people. If you know you've been running around banging people over the head, God will use that too.
Yeah.
Like, he really will. When he says all things work together for good, he really does.
Yeah.
Like, you'll learn some stuff and be like, I probably wouldn't do it like that this time. But he'll use it.
Yeah. And as long as it's with a pure heart pure motive.
Because it really is.
Because it is. Like, when you really get a zeal for God, it's like, you just know, you're like, I know him, and I want y'all to know him, please.
So
I need
intense,
you to know him.
Though.
But Jordan's zeal has been like, it's like the cutest, most fiery little thing. She, and I don't know, that's why I say I really feel like she has a apologetic ministry in her, because she is a defender of truth. Jordan defends truth.
That's tight.
And it doesn't matter where the truth comes from. You know what I'm saying? She's gonna defend it.
Nah,
if it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
And if it ain't, it ain't.
It
and
ain't.
She is always for the underdog. And so right now, Jordan feels that Jesus has been treated like the underdog
in
the world. And she has been sick. She is sick of it.
I love it. Be sick of it.
She is sick of it.
Yes.
And so it's just encouraging to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's encouraging to see that zeal.
Yeah.
And it's it helps me be a better steward over her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have been helping me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how it just trickles down. And then, like, she's able to be a better steward over my kids.
Yeah.
When she's watching them and I'm not around, it just trickles down. And it's this ripple effect that just continues and it flows.
And that's such a blessing, because ultimately, I was going to say earlier, we're not on an island. We're the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We're all one body.
Yeah.
You know, even when we're in heaven, we're going to all be one. We'll all be united together. People won't even be married, because that's how much we're just all going to be together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I think there's such a beauty in the fact that the Lord desires community.
Yeah.
He desires it. Like, even when you look at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they all submit to one another.
Yeah.
Like that. So you see community in the Trinity, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, it's so dope. And I think because when you can love others well, when you can love others as you love yourself, right? When you can not only consider your own interests, but the interest of others, it's a beautiful, like, would symbiosis be the word? It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the way that works. And so,
and it's a helper. It really is a helper to get a revelation of God, because it makes it easier to love his people.
Yes.
And I did not have that revelation the way that I do now.
Right.
Back then.
Yeah.
I did not realize that because I didn't see myself the way that God saw me, because I could not, I couldn't, because I didn't have a revelation really of who he was, that it did not render positive results in relationships because I didn't see myself the way he saw me.
Yeah.
So if I can't see me the way he sees me, it's hard for me to see you as an image bearer too, because I don't believe I'm an image bearer.
That's true,
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so it's so helpful to have community of people that are constantly, we're rotating this mirror towards each other. Yes. And it's like, you see?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And I love how you say, and it's a trickle effect.
Yes.
Like, I remember, so when I was at a dark point, when everything happened at the church, honestly, Jackie's popularity was a light for me. Because I kept being like, I wasted my time. I wasted my talents. I failed people who trusted me. And the Lord is like, but look at that.
That you didn't fail.
And it was like saying, look at all the people she's touching. That's all from what y'all did in your little apartment in LA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, and that was so helpful to me. So you're right. It is an encouragement.
Yeah.
And it is an inspiration.
Yeah.
Because that kept me kind of pushing that there was some value to what I brought to the table.
Yeah.
And that the time I spent at that church wasn't all a waste.
Yeah.
And even though now when I look back, I mean, I was just so devastated I didn't see anything good, right? Mm-hmm. But there's still people today that don't have the same popularity as Jackie, but that I ministered to that hit me up now. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to find you. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're still out there. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you know what I'm saying? And so as you obey the Lord, I guess what I'm ultimately saying, like, as you obey the Lord and you submit to be in totality, to be a part of his body, like the effects of that thing, you can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
You cannot even imagine
it. We laugh a lot, Jay, Jordan, and I, because when we're all together, we laugh and call ourselves a Consideration Nation because we are so... the level of consideration that we have towards each other and the level of grace that we have towards each other, like the level of accountability, like we say Accountability Nation and Consideration Nation,
really,
because
funny.
We hold each other, like, before somebody can even call something out in the other person's like, all right, I know, I should have did that. Oh, you're right. Or maybe I could have, like, we are all very, and Jordan and Jay go at it the most.
I saw that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, they're it was very quite much, it's very entertaining. So I'm always like kind of in the middle. I'm like, well, Jordan, well, Jay, well, you know, but it's the level of grace, even in disagreements.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even in the Absolutely. Even when we're annoyed with each other, even when we don't agree with each other, the level of grace that has been given towards each other, that we are so open to hear each other out.
Yep.
We're so open to hear how we can do better.
Yep.
We're so open to hearing, like, and poor Jay, because he's the only guy, like, Jordan and I be on his neck. Jay, we be on Jay's head top. Do you hear me? We be on his neck, but because we are very much a family, you know, we are very much his sisters and we are annoyed by him and he's annoyed by us, but he's the only guy. So he ends up getting kind of ganged up on a little bit, but even in that, Jay would be like, I'll stop you when you're lying. Like, that's his favorite thing. Like, if we're going in on him, he would be like, all right, well, I'll stop you when you're lying. Because, like, he just, but it's this openness.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking credit for it, but I believe that because I have been so open to being truthful and vulnerable, that it's trickling down and it's in all of us. Like, we're just, that space has just been provided for all of us to be open and to be accountable and to be, you know, considerate.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and there are certain things that don't even have to get said that get corrected because there's great, like if I do something and I know that I'm like, man, I need to check my heart. Maybe my heart posture ain't right. Or maybe I need to do whatever. Like, it's not because they're so kind and because they're so open and gracious with me, they don't always even need to call it out. Sometimes just them being gracious,
and loving,
convicts me enough to be like, dang, you know what?
I ain't have to do that. No, that's real.
I'm sorry about that.
That's real.
You remember earlier when I did?
That's real, yeah.
That's my bad, because I could have did better with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, it just opens up this space, and there's no condemnation. No. Like, they're not coming back at me and like, was waiting for you to come around.
Nah,
was waiting for you to apologize. It's none of that, but it's more like, it's all good, man.
Nah,
like, we get it. Like, I understand. And then there's always, like, with all of us, if there is a something and somebody goes to someone and they're like, you know, I'm sorry, I could have did that better. The other person is always like, I get it. And I could have probably did.
No,
there's always this like level of accountability.
Isn't that crazy though? Like, I feel like when people are willing, humility always breeds humility. Like, it's very rarely a situation where it's just like, you were wrong. But if someone's like, if you're like, man, that hurt me. And you're like open to it, and you respond like, oh man, I see where I did that.
Yep.
And then the person that called you out is like, but I could have did it. It's really weird how that happens, but that's an excellent thing to highlight. And that's how you know too, that you're in a healthy space.
I was just about to say that. That's how you know you're in a healthy space.
Yeah. Cause it ain't about gotcha.
That's how you know you're in a healthy relationship.
Yes.
When somebody can say, hey, this hurt me. And that person says, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And you know what? I could have did better too. Or even the
because
person that.
Because the goal is reconciliation.
I'm about to throw the mic.
It's not being esteemed more. It's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no other goal than, man, I just want us to be on the same page. That's it. I want us to be good. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
It's them deciding to have a kickback
right
outside
here.
The window.
They're like, oh, we want to listen.
I'm sorry. I have children. Like, I'm not going to apologize that I have children, but like, I have children who decided to have a kickback.
You called it a kickback? It's a kickback.
No, tapping, rocking in the rocking chairs, just having a good time. And it's like, what are y'all out there chatting about?
Dude.
What are they doing? Oh,
they're doing their own podcast. Right. They was like, yo, am I Devo this morning?
Right. Well, go ahead and disciple your brother.
Exactly.
Bro. That's fine by me. He needs it. If there's anyone who needs to be saved in this house, it's Jonah. Lord Jesus. I should have known
better.
You kind
of set him up.
When I named him Jonah,
that was not right.
And I didn't, you know what? And I
didn't even think about it.
No, because it's Dr. Richard's fault. My OBGYN in Ohio, he delivered all three of my kids. He pulled Jonah out, and I had two names, Asher or Jonah, which is funny that Asher is one of Jonah's best friends.
Oh, that's funny.
But it was Asher or Jonah, and he pulled him out and looked at him and said, this is a Jonah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh. And he wasn't lying.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, Jonah.
Jonah is the most... Y'all, just pray for me. Just pray for me. And you know what? And my ex and I, Jonah's dad, and I have been arguing the last 2 days because he's like, oh, that's all you. That's all your DNA.
He's very much
physically,
you,
mentally, emotionally, he's all
even
you.
Even when the first time I saw him when he walked in the house, his whole swag was you.
But I'm like offended by that. Like when he says it, I'm offended. When Brandon says that Jonah is my DNA, I'm offended because I'm like, so what
you trying to say?
What are you saying? And he's like, he's your child.
No, my one of my friends, she has a 7-year-old son. Well, shoot, I think actually he's like 9 now. But she was like, girl, it's really deep that I be trying to beat me out of my son. Like, when he gets in trouble, it's because he acting like me.
Which is why since moving into this house, I don't know the last time I, like, harshly disciplined my kids.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the last time I did that. But since moving into this house, because I have such a revelation of God and I have more empathy for Jonah. Like, I'm like, oh, because this is a direct reflection of God in me. Like, what I go through with Jonah is exactly what God goes through with me. And I just have so much empathy and compassion for God and Jonah. And I'm just here in the middle.
No, she said it's wild, like, trying to balance it. It's
just like, interesting.
Wow. Because she's like, I get it.
I do.
I get why you would do that.
I get it. I get why you have something smart to say after everything. I get it, but it's like, anyway. Yeah, so y'all just keep praying.
We digress.
We digress and pray for Jonah pray for me.
We will do that.
Please pray for me. Because I got to raise him.
That's so funny.
So pray for me. But yeah, that consideration that... that everybody consideration nation that is what I mean. We thought about naming the Patreon community Consideration Nation, but it just sounds like a lot to say. but yeah, it's just been a game changer.
Yeah.
It has really changed. And, you know, I don't know, Jordan and Jay, y'all can kind of speak for yourself how it's changed for you guys, or how the trickle down of discipleship, how it's affected or kind of tapped into you guys. Jordan with your zeal and Jay with his.
I love it.
His.
I just like that we have the Bible. Like, it's very simple, but the fact that we just have a Bible to refer back to, it's like, it's right there. So I don't get how we've made this world so confused and so far gone.
Do you hear just the honesty?
But
the frustration.
And so far gone.
She's like, we're gone.
And wait, Jordan's been here, what, 23 years?
On this earth. And she's like,
and she's over it.
She's over it. She's over it.
That's a revelation
right
there.
But what I love about Jordan is that she prays for her, her generation's influencers.
Ooh,
like,
that's
she
dope.
Prays for the Doja Cats and the Sexy Reds.
Yeah.
And she prays for, she was
that's
like,
tight.
And like, not like, and I only know this because she casually said it the other day when she was like, when I'm praying for Doja Cat and Sexy Red, like, I really have to. And I was like, wait, you're praying for Doja Cat and Sexy Red?
That's
like,
fire.
And I just love that, like, that was something that I didn't have to ask her to do that.
Yeah.
I didn't say pray. It's the trash. Can you hear that? Can you guys hear it?
No, I think he just rolled by. He got Heelys?
It's the trash can.
Oh.
Okay, it's not bad. Okay.
Oh.
I appreciated that she had that in her without being told to ask that.
Yeah.
But, like, she got a revelation of what prayer was.
No, facts.
She got a revelation of who God was. Yeah.
Yeah, that it would bring for her to pray. And because she's going to understand her generation so much better.
What?
So much better. Like,
what?
Yeah.
I just thought it was such a...
That's dope.
I mean, it convicted me a bit.
No,
like,
that's real.
Oh, am I praying for my generation's influencers?
Yeah.
Am I praying for the ones that are influencing my children?
Yeah.
Am I praying for these people?
Yeah.
Or am I just complaining?
Right. Yeah, like, because I was doing for a minute. I was doing that.
Because I'm not saying that you're not going to complain or have whatever.
No, facts,
but I don't want to be the Christians.
They're just sitting up.
That sit up on a camera, prop up a camera and get a mic and just start trashing.
Yeah. Yep.
Preachers and influencers and artists
and
calling them out by name and showing... taking clips of things that they've said without the full context of what they said. And I don't believe that that's God.
Yeah.
I do not believe that the fivefold ministry includes criticism.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
And it's like, you build your whole ministry around that. Like, at what point are you pointing people to Jesus? Because shouldn't that be the goal anyway?
And isn't he good and big enough to talk about?
Exactly.
And to occupy the conversation
exactly.
without you having to say, don't follow this and this person.
Yep.
Isn't he so good that all you have to do is point to him and teach people how to look at him?
Exactly. And they'll know
how
to discern. Exactly. Which I feel like Tim Ross says something like that. He's like, my job is to teach people the truth. And once they are armed with the truth, they can discern. And that's real. That's very, very real.
Because what we have now is a bunch of people jumping up on mics.
Yeah.
Saying in the name of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brother and sister.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to point out they're wrong.
Yeah. And I feel like to some degree, there can be such a lack of grace with doing that.
Ugh.
Because what if they are off?
Yep.
And you prayed for them.
And something
and
changed.
And they changed.
Because if my
and
people.
And then they come out.
Because if my people.
Exactly.
Because if my people.
Exactly.
He didn't say if everybody. He said if my
yes.
people. So if you say that you know me, you my
yes.
people. So if my people who were called by my name
yes.
would humble themselves,
yeah.
which means
and
that
pray.
You got to do something
yeah.
that you don't want to do. That
yeah.
means that you have to lower yourself
yeah.
and humble yourself, sit
yeah.
down,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
If you do that
yeah. Yeah.
and seek him,
yes.
then.
Yes. Yeah. He'll hear from heaven and he'll heal the land.
The walls of Jericho came down because of obedience.
Yep. Yep.
Not because they were mighty to take it down.
Yeah.
It's their obedience in
Absolutely.
Doing it, their perseverance in doing
That's
it.
Right.
And so if we would just stop for a second,
yeah.
take ourselves off this man-made pedestal
yeah.
that we placed ourselves
yeah.
on and humbled ourselves and
yeah.
say, I'm the least of these.
Yeah.
I'm the chief of
yeah.
sinners.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And the same God that saved me is the same God that's capable of saving
that's
them.
That's right.
And so I'm going to humble myself
that's
and
right.
pray for them.
That's right.
I'm going to pray for Doja Cat.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for Sexy
that's
Red.
Right.
I'm going to pray for Beyonce.
That's right.
I'm going to pray for Jay-Z.
Right.
I don't care if you don't like him.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for
yeah.
him.
No, that's real.
Because who am I to
yeah.
not pray for them?
Yeah.
Especially
At
if I know.
At the very least. That's the least we can
that's
do.
That's the least I can do.
And then what a beautiful testament to God and his power if this person changes and the impact that will have. That's what I always be looking for low key. I'm like, let me pray for them. Because if they would, like, I always pick like
for
the
sure.
biggest person. I remember praying for Oprah for years. I'm like, Oprah's reach is huge.
Yeah, massive.
I'm like, girl, if you serve the Lord solidly, it'll be over. Pray for Oprah all the time. I pray for Whitney Houston all the time.
Yeah.
It was very specific.
But think
people
about
that,
how powerful it would be if literally.
No.
My people,
no, I agree.
Everyone
yeah.
that truly believe
yeah.
that they know that God is
yeah.
who he says that he is
yeah.
and they really have a revelation of
yeah.
him, if they actually humbled themselves
yeah.
and prayed for the leaders
the
of this
do.
Nation
yeah.
and pray for the influencers of this
yep.
nation, what would really happen?
Yep.
What would happen?
No, it's real. It's real.
Like, it's, I mean, when she said that, it convicted me.
Yeah.
Because I don't.
That's excellent.
I'm too busy trying to pray that my heart is right. I don't got time to be worried about what Beyonce's doing.
Like, my prayer card
I'm
is
like,
full right
I'm,
now, Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? I'm
but,
trying to get right. But
yeah.
I also remember the time where I was trying to get pregnant with Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember praying. And this and during the time the church I was at, they were preaching on contending for the faith. And he was preaching out of the book of Jude.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Caleb so bad, and it was a year after Eli was a year old, and I just wanted, there's a gnat in here. I wanted so badly to be pregnant again, and doing some inventory on it, the reason why I wanted to have Caleb so bad is because I had Eli before I was married, and I was married after that, and I felt like Caleb was going to redeem me from my shame of having
yeah.
a baby before I was married,
yeah.
right? I thought that that was going to be a redemption for me.
Yeah.
And so I prayed, and I wanted Caleb so bad. I wanted him so bad. And I remember sitting in church, and I remember God was like, I heard you already. Don't
wow.
ask me again.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that was rude. And I remember the next thing he said was, go pray for someone else to have a baby.
Wow.
And so there were two girls that I was friends with at the time that were trying to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in February. No, that was in January. February, I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
The end of February, the other girl got pregnant. And then the early March, the another girl got
wow.
pregnant. And it was just as simple as like humbling myself.
Yeah.
And praying for someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Because God was like, I heard you
yeah.
already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to keep begging
yeah,
me.
No, you don't have to beg him at all.
Go pray for somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah.
So I thought that, like, just that dawned on me. I saw when Jordan, talking about Jordan praying for
yeah.
the influencers of her generation.
Yeah.
It's like what God will do when you humble yourself
yeah.
and just pray for someone else.
Yep, that's real.
And
that
then asking
so
God,
real.
Which I ask often in my time with him, is like, give me a heart to pray for others.
Yeah.
Give me a heart
yeah.
to love what you love and
yep.
give me a heart to hate what you
That's
hate.
That's right.
And give me strategy on how to pray.
Yeah. Yep.
for the things that are concerning you in your kingdom. Yep. You know what I mean? Yep. I think that those things are important. And I just love that, you know, I think Jordan is going to be a leader in that.
Yeah.
Like she's going to be a leader in that because of her commitment to truth.
Yeah. Because it's going to take commitment.
But she's in it, though. Yeah. And I'm just thankful that she's, you know, it encourages me. And that's why community is so important.
It really is.
Because the days that I'm on, like, 30%.
Yeah.
There's a 70 between the two of them. You know what I'm saying? We at least get, you, there's at least a 70.
You're going to eke out.
You know what I'm saying? There might be 30, 40, but we're going to get to 100 as a collective. You know what I mean? I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that. Because even being a leader, you still need your team to
absolutely need it.
Encourage you too.
Yeah, you need it.
And I think too, with the church, with the things that are happening, because everyone has a podcast, everyone has a platform, it's really hard to discern who to follow.
Yeah.
And who not to follow, who's saying truth and who's not. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of people, a lot of, and who am I? You know, whatever. I'm only saying something because I know truth.
Yeah.
Not because I've always spoke it or lived it.
That's real.
I'm only saying it because I know it now. Yeah. But the amount of, I always say that there's a 360 gospel and there's a 180 gospel. I believe that God wants us to have a 180 gospel,
okay,
not a 360, because repent means to turn,
right?
But to turn away from, which means that's a 180.
Yeah,
but 360 keeps you going in a loop,
in a circle.
And I feel like there's a lot of 360 preaching that keeps people going like this, instead of just being like repent, turn.
We
have people telling congregations that they don't need to reconcile with people. Like we're telling there are churches that are that believe that grace is your
ticket to just do whatever. No facts. And that really God just wants everybody to have this great life. That's also not true. That's not what he died for. He died for us to have life with him.
Yeah.
But he didn't die. Like everybody ain't gonna be rich. Let's just be real. Everybody's not going to be rich.
Yep.
Everybody ain't called to ministry
yep.
in a platform way. You know, the idea that we're all just waiting for this like huge breakthrough. The breakthrough happened when Jesus came, died, and rose.
Period.
That was the breakthrough.
Yeah.
And if we haven't beheld that enough to be impressed enough to realize that that is our single most important goal, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
So how can somebody know the difference between a 180 gospel and a 360 gospel preaching? Like, how do you know when someone is preaching the full thing?
Yeah.
In the sense of like, it points in the direction, or it's like, you know how preaching is nowadays, that it's more about the prosperity message, your haters, your elevation, your, it's you. And that was something that you and Jackie really helped me with in knowing and discerning who to listen to. It was like, are they preaching, is it a you message or is it about God?
That's right. If it's about God and it's pointing you to him and it's challenging you to live in a way that pleases him, that's solid.
Yeah.
But if it's something where it's basically like, there's so many things I could say, but it will implicate very specific people. But like I said, if it's more about what you can get out of it and the what you get out of it isn't Jesus, because I'm telling you, God is not more hot and heavy over giving us anything after giving us his son. And what father would be? What father would sacrifice their kid and be more impressed with giving you a car? Like, stop that. Stop that. And so it just, if their message is not convicting you to lay down more, to submit more, to give more, to love better, to go and reconcile with somebody that you got beef with. If that's not what the message is pushing you to, it's very likely it's because it's not God's message. Because everything about serving the Lord is actually
self-sacrifice.
And he said the greatest in the kingdom is what? Servant to all. So if you looking to be served, you looking for your breakthrough so you can come up.
Ooh.
Oof. You know what I'm saying? And the thing
is insane.
For me, it's like if I come up, but I come up to serve,
that's one right. Thing.
That's different. But a lot of times we ain't looking for that. We're looking to come up so our name can be great in the earth. I was thinking about the scripture that says the name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Mm.
His name. At his name, every knee bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. His name
is enough.
Like, can't nobody get saved but from your name? That ain't tight. You know what I'm saying? And if you're exalted and you're not pointing them to Jesus, the only one that can heal, the only one that can save,
the only one that can deliver,
mm-hmm. the only one to give you peace, the only one with anything really to ever make your life worth living. If you ain't lifted up and then pointing people to him, you're off. That's unbiblical. Because we're going to be in heaven forever worshiping God. And if we haven't pointed our gaze to him now, we're not going to want to worship him later. Ooh. And he definitely ain't going to want us in his heaven. For what? You wasn't messing with me on earth. So no, yikes. You're not welcome in my kingdom because you don't want to be here. You already got your reward.
Yikes.
All of that, all earth. That you was earth. Doing, you got it.
On earth. Now you in eternity.
Now you in eternity.
Without
and you got to deal with that.
And
you got to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? It frustrates me because I see people that genuinely come to churches and ministries looking for Jesus, and what they're being given is not him. And it's going to make me cry because people are really deceived.
Mm-hmm.
They're really deceived.
Mm-hmm.
We are in this to know the Lord.
And that's it.
That's it. Your purpose, your call, all of that is second mm-hmm. to knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I could say, you read that word, you see yourself in it.
Yep.
Because he's trying to get at you, mm-hmm. Megan,
mm-hmm.
before anything else.
Yeah.
Whatever we do for the Lord is an overflow of our relationship with him.
Yep.
If we ain't got no relationship with him, we got nothing
yep.
but some gifts.
Some stuff. Some stuff.
It's so like... He is the King of mm-hmm. kings. He's the Lord of lords.
Mm-hmm.
His name is great.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing good that we have apart from him.
Yeah, nothing.
And this life is not worth anything without him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that people get in his pulpit and push people to everything except him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tragedy, dude. And it breaks my heart because there's times where I feel like I can almost feel the needs of the people
yeah.
in the room.
And they're being ignored.
Or they're being fed a bunch of sugar when they
for
need
content.
Meat. Exactly.
For content.
It's
we're risking souls for popularity.
Yes.
We're risking eternity for content.
And you're going to stand before this God you claim to serve. I'm like, do y'all, I think about that all the time. That's why it challenges me to be a good steward.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, I'm not going to stand before the Lord and he'd be like, how did you handle Megan? And I'd be like, reckless. Well, I'm not doing that. Like I told her what you said. If she ain't do it, that was on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people just don't think about that. And it's just, it's really sad. And when you know the Lord for real, you realize that he's literally worthy of
everything.
Sacrifice.
We're going to take a break from the episode because our friends at Frito-Lay know that joy is bold, vivacious, and contagious. Joy gives life flavor, rhythm, and vibes. And when joy takes flight, it can't be contained. It's robust, more than a smile or a laugh. It's an infectious experience. So here's to all the creators that inspire us with your creativity and passion. Let's keep filling the world with joy. And make sure you look out for My Joy campaign powered by Frito-Lay. Let's get back to the show.
Every sacrifice, every no, every I'ma be broke, every I'ma sleep on this person's couch instead of going and buying this house that I could have got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've left three careers to serve Jesus.
Yeah.
Three of them.
Yeah.
My last one, I worked for the Cheesecake Factory corporate. My life was nice. I'm single. I have no kids.
Yeah.
I was traveling everywhere. And the Lord was like, all right, come on home. I need to talk to you for a minute. I was like, all right. Because I wasn't tripping. I'm like, I can go get a job.
Yeah.
I ain't tripping. He was like, no, but you're not going to go back to work like that. I was like, oh, wait a minute. this is going to be a longer stint than I thought. Mm-hmm. But also, there's nothing I'd rather be doing.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that's going to be more valuable.
And I think that that's the thing. There's nothing that matters more than him.
Nothing.
There's nothing, nothing that matters more than him.
Nothing.
Not one thing.
Nothing. Literally nothing. And if you find yourself hearing that and you're like, nothing, then meditate on that thing some more.
Yep. And I think a good, I think I've said this the last episode maybe, but I was like, you know, a good indicator of where you are with him is to think about the thing that you value the most and asking, and him asking,
let me have it.
Let me have it.
Yep.
And what's your first response?
That's right.
Is your first response yes?
Yep.
Or is there some hesitation? Because the level of hesitation is the level of revelation that you have of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the level of obedience you have is a reflection of the level of revelation that you have of him. And once you have a revelation of him, it doesn't matter what he asks you to do.
No.
It doesn't matter how scared you are. Because you can, I'm not saying, you do it scared.
Yeah. It's what I'm
saying.
Do it
scared.
It's
what
I'm saying.
Do it not knowing
the outcome. You did this scared.
Doing it scared. What are you freaking kidding me? Lord.
No, it's true.
Doing it scared.
No, absolutely.
Because nothing means more than me.
Nothing.
Than being obedient to him.
That's right.
Because nothing means more to me than him. Yeah. Nothing means more to me.
That's
nothing.
Right. That's right.
Because when nobody was around, man, even when they were in my house, when no one was around, and I felt like I wanted to die, he came.
That's right.
I know how he saved me. That's nothing is more important than him.
That's right.
I know how he's given me the ability to love my kids.
Yeah.
The grace that he has given me to love them.
Yep. Yep.
And for them to love me.
Yeah.
Nothing is more important than him.
You're right.
Nothing. I could have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he preserved my life, not because I deserved it.
Right.
But because he's good. Yeah. It's not because I deserved it. I'm not good.
Yeah. Boy.
You know what I mean? I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I'm not good. Yeah. Like Paul, I'm the chief of these. I'm the captain of sinners. But the goodness of him to love me in spite of me.
That's right, man.
You find a love like that. Think about how hard we go when we fall in love with a guy or whoever.
Jeez,
and it's like, you'll do anything for that person.
Yep.
That pales in comparison to the love that I've experienced from him.
Yeah.
And so why would I not give him my entire life?
Yeah, all of it.
Why wouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And even that doesn't even feel like enough.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And I live this life. I give you everything here so that I can continue to give you everything in eternity.
Yeah, that's
right. I want it to last forever and ever and ever. I want to sing your praises and your goodness forever, and ever and ever, because you've been that good. You've just been that good. And when you have a revelation of who he is and who you are,
oof,
good and bad, seeing yourself
real.
In totality, not just seeing the bad parts of yourself, but and not just seeing the good parts of yourself, seeing all of it, having that type of revelation, you're like, man, you deserve everything.
Everything.
Without hesitation.
That was, oh my gosh, why'd you just take my whole words?
Without hesitation.
Without hesitation. Yeah.
You can have it.
Yeah.
So if it costs me my friendships, you can have it.
No,
if it costs me my reputation, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
If it costs me, if it means I have to suffer, fine.
Yep.
I'll suffer.
Yep. Yep.
I'll do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't live eternity without you.
I
won't do that.
Nah.
I'll lose anybody before I lose that. Hands down.
Yep. That's right.
I can't believe you start crying, you little.
I know. I mean, I kind of sucked it back up. Because it could have got really weird. It was like, Lord, tell me. But no, it's like, it's real to me. And I realized that it's most people don't even walk in that level of conviction.
Yeah.
They don't care.
But, and you know what? I have empathy for even that, because I grew up in church knowing God and didn't come to this revelation until 7 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
or I didn't start that journey until 7 months ago. I'm still walking in that revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I have so much empathy and compassion, which is why this podcast means so much to me, because it's not just, you know, I know it's not for everybody, but I know it's for somebody. Yeah. And especially the people who have always had this thing that's knowing that God is real, but just didn't know or have a full revelation of who he was and how he sees them. Yeah. It's like, that's what I want to convey is that he sees you in totality and he loves you.
Yeah.
And knowing that he sees even the ugliest parts of you and still loves you.
Yes.
And still chooses to see the good. We don't even do that with each other.
No.
We see one bad thing about somebody and only see them through that lens. Mm-hmm. But God sees our ugliness and his love outweighs that.
It does.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, it really is.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it troubles me in the deepest parts of me that people don't know him.
Yeah.
And that there will be some that die never knowing
him,
how good he is or how good he was to them.
Even
when they didn't acknowledge it, you know. So I think that having a revelation of God's word is the first way to really know who to follow, who to disciple you, who to listen to, what podcast to listen to, what friendships to have, what relationships to have.
Yep.
God is kind and he sent his word and it's the same.
Yeah.
It didn't change. The same power that it had then is the same power it has now.
That's true.
And knowing it is knowing him.
That's right.
And knowing him is knowing his word.
Yeah.
They work hand in hand.
Yeah.
And if you are sitting up under any type of leadership, mentorship, or I would say discipleship, pastor, whatever, and they're not coming from the text, they're not speaking his word, his truth, then that's not the place for you if you're trying to pursue him.
Because anything I say, even when it's strong, I can always find a scripture that it matches every time. Because I'm like, and, you know, for those that feel intimidated by the word and feel like you have to, like, know all of these translations or know all these, you don't.
Yep.
It's really, it's, the word is so blatant, honestly. Like, God.
Blatant.
It's so just, like, bat out. Like, how many times have I read it to you? And I'm like, that's just what it says. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not telling you, I got to tell you the root word. Yep. And I got to tell you the this and the that. It's like, no, when we read it, what did he say? That's what he said. And that's what he meant.
Yep. Period.
It's that simple. And so, yeah, to not even allow yourself to be intimidated. Like, the Lord wants to reveal himself to you.
Yeah.
But you gotta, like, you gotta wanna know him. You gotta wanna know him on his terms. You can't be coming with your own. You can't do that. And we could go on and on, but
good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
We gonna be praying.
We
for
gonna
y'all.
Be praying. Seriously.
Like, real talk.
Because that's the key. So, okay, so I always want to end giving them some type of journal prompt or something to help them, you know, go back and listen to part one, listen back again to part two, because there were so many things that were said in here that are so helpful for your journey. But what's a good journal prompt that we can give them for this week to just help them as they're navigating through, you know, just kind of giving a revelation of God and who he is and how he sees them and how to find the right person, community to help you in this walk.
What if we ask them, I like what you said about, like, is there anything in your life that if God asked for it, you couldn't give him? Like, so to really challenge yourself with, like, do you think God is worthy of everything? Like, be honest. And if you find that you're like, nah, they'd be like, oh, Lord, let me pray for a heart.
But that's honest, though.
That's honest as heck. But and it allows for you to now ask him for the heart that you need. That's the thing. Like, we're never left without options. Right? When we admit to the truth, he's like, yeah, I just wanted you to admit the truth. I knew you was a liar. It's cool. Okay, you want to stop lying? Got you. You know? And they can help you.
Easy.
But if you don't admit it, like, he can't do what he needs to do with it. And so
that's a good journal prompt.
Yeah.
If what do you value the most?
Yep.
Who do you value the most? Mm. And what, it could be a thing or a person or whatever. And if God were to ask you for it, would you give it to him? What's your level of hesitation? And do you really believe that he's worthy?
Yeah.
Of all of it.
And if you don't, why not?
And if you don't, why?
And then if you don't, pray and ask him for the heart.
Yep.
be courageous. I know some of y'all are like, I don't want to ask him because then he going to change it.
Oh, because he is.
He will.
Because he's going to change and everything will change.
But he'll change your heart and your perspective. So it ain't like you're going to be mad.
He's a good guy. He's great. Kind.
He's awesome.
Thank you for... Yeah. And I know this won't be the last time.
Yeah,
because we have so many great things in store.
And apparently, God is...
Apparently, God's mixing and doing stuff. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Mm-hmm. And I pray that there has been at least something that was said that helped you.
Yeah.
That encouraged you. Even convicted you. I'm okay with that, too. Yeah. I'm okay with some conviction. I hope you don't feel that anything condemned.
Yeah.
Because I don't... Nope. We don't want to come across that way. Mm-mm. We want to encourage and allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting.
Yeah.
And I just pray that something was helpful. Yeah. And if it was helpful, and you know it might be helpful for somebody else, send it to them.
Yeah.
Send it to a friend to encourage them. You know, send it to a boyfriend that you're trying to introduce to Christ, mm-hmm. or a girlfriend that you're trying to introduce to Christ, or mm-hmm. whoever. Send it over. Do the journal prompts. Leave a comment on YouTube. Give me a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Give me a rating. I just want to hear in the comments on YouTube if you did the journal prompt. I want to hear how that was for you.
Yeah,
that'd
be dope.
The Village community, after this comes out, maybe we'll do a live with you.
Oh, okay.
For our Thursday night. I put her on the spot. You see that? She can't say no. It's on camera. Maybe that'll be our first kind of to what we're doing. But we'll do a live with Santoria and kind of talk about what that was like for everyone doing the journal prompt. I'm going to do it too.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I'm going to do it too. Cause I'm like, my prayers is still always, God, search my heart.
Yeah.
You know, and try my ways. I'm still asking God to do that every day.
Yeah.
Because I want him to completely purge me of anything that's not like him. Yep. So I ask every single day because we're sinful people and we're going to sin. So I just ask that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it with you guys. I love you. I appreciate you. Follow me on all social media platforms. Don't forget to join my Patreon. And we will see you guys next week.
Nice.
See ya. Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.